experience and walk in the supernatural. Dive into this river and receive healing for your life and your home through God's vessels at the Family Life Summit. Be revived.
We bless the name of the Lord for another opportunity to review Family Life Summit 2024. I don't know how many of us actually took time to listen to the messages that will be reviewed today. If you know you listened, last week the question was asked, I want to know how many of us have repented within the space of 1 week. How many of us listened? Okay, it's all right. Amen. All right, let's go right into the review. I want to call the Zekos, brother and sister Ezekiel. Please come forward. And brother and sister Theophilos. Amen. All right, praise God. We're going to be reviewing two messages today. You know, listening to that message, my heart was stirred up again in gratitude to God for our parents. You know, I listened to that message over and again, not because of review, even prior to review, it was something I was already waiting on and all. You know, I saw the depth, the riches of labor. What Reverend Busi said in the 2 hour plus teaching and what Daddy said on the Sunday are not far apart. So we're going to be examining those two messages this evening. I think I'll start from the Zekos since Theophilus. So who goes first? So each person has 15 minutes. Please stick to time and focus on the message. We know we all have personal experiences that may buttress, but the primary thing is to focus on the message. All right.
Good evening, Daddy. Good evening, Mommy. Thank you for your labor over us. And I thank you for consistency over us. And I also want to appreciate the associate pastor and the KCC leader and the all the S30. I appreciate your work, and I want to say a big thank you to Daddy. I used to say something to my wife that if I was not in this water, it is possible that I may not be in marriage anymore, because the understanding I was bringing to marriage was more of self. Even as at then, I don't understand. It is now. I now want to understand that what I was coming with was not, it won't last. It's not something that can take care of home. You know, going through the message of Daddy Busui, I want to also thank God for Daddy Busui for really painting the pictures for us. Because the truth is that when you listen to the message, no one that will listen to the message that will not be blessed. There are so much depth in the message. I was also telling my wife that sometimes when they don't ask us to review, we look at it as something that maybe the pastor have to do, or something that is only the leaders that will know those things. But one thing I've come to understand when it comes to message is that you need to listen to message over and over again before it become part of you. I think that the Busui started with Psalm 128. from verse 1 to 6. And I think that is the bedrock of this discussion. Psalm 128, verse 1, say, Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and walketh in his way. Looking at this verse, no one knows how to fear God until the doctrine is painted. You see, we can, you know, sometimes when you read this verse as letter, and that's why sometimes Daddy used to say that if you are not careful, we may not really understand. Just like when they say a woman should submit to husband. You see, you don't know how to submit. It is doctrine that really paints the picture of the submission to us. No one knows. When you look at this verse that says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and that walketh in the ways. Even walking in his ways. Looking at this verse, his ways. It means God have ways. There are ways in God. And the only way you decode or understand those ways is through doctrine. And one thing doctrine does to us was Daddy Busi was talking about painting. There are patterns in God. When you look at the ways, you can only see patterns in doctrine. Doctrine, we give you. You know, when they ask marriage, how to run a marriage, many of us don't know how to run a marriage until doctrine. You know, they say a man should love the wife, and the woman should submit. Looking at both words, you don't understand how to love a woman until that doctrine is being painted to us. Let's look at Psalm 1, verse 1, before I come back to Psalm 128, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You know, we are also talking about men here. We don't know ungodly people until those message, those doctrine is given to us. Nor standeth in the ways of sinner, nor seated in the seat of the scornful. 2. Verse 2. But his delight is in the law and the Lord. One thing about this place is that it is what you know you meditate on. When you don't know, something, you don't meditate on it. When you look at it, one thing meditation does is it converts our head knowledge to a formation of heart. You see, you don't meditate alone. You meditate based on your understanding of the doctrine. And it is law that he meditate day and night. Please, let's go back to Psalms 128. For thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands. Happy shall thou be, and it shall be well with thee. This place, when I was discussing, me and my wife was having a discussion, I was looking at this verse that after God, the next thing is your home. Even Daddy Busui also painted the picture for us. Our home is an extension of the workplace. It is what you have. It is the capacity you have built in the home that extend to your workplace. Sometimes when you want to know a home that is healthy, you know through the husband and you also know through the wife in the workplace. You know a woman that is bittered. you know a woman that's going with bitterness. And that is why, when you look at this place, thy wife shall be as fruitful vine by the side of thy house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. This verse 3 that I was talking about, thy wife shall be as fruitful vine by thy side. You see, this don't jump on men. It is not possible for this verse 3 to just jump on any man. A man must be somebody that cultivates the home to prepare the atmosphere for the woman. There must be a way when a man cultivates the atmosphere for the woman to flourish. A woman don't flourish. You see, I used to tell one of my friend that people may say my wife is beautiful at work, but it's different when I say is beautiful. You see, when I say it is, it more sink than when people say it's beautiful. A woman needs words, and the only way you can create a good atmosphere in homes is to cultivate the environment with word. And thy wife shall be as fruitful vine by this side of thy house. Thy children, please go back to that, please. Thy wife shall be as fruitful vine by the side of thy house. Thy children like olive plant round about thy table. One thing about children is that they love seeing examples. A home must be full of, you know, as a parent, when you don't have doctrine, when the picture of how marriage should be run, you don't have it. It's very difficult for you to show the examples to the children. You see, a home that is always run with self, you can imagine the kind of example that will come out from that home. You see, as a man, please, verse 4, behold, thou shalt the man be blessed that fear. You see, this no, verse 4 is also reminding us of the blessing that we accrue to a man that have done the that feared the Lord, and at the same time that walketh in the ways. You know, all this walking in his ways, when I look at walking in the way of the Lord, we don't always know how to walk until the doctrine is painted to us. Verse 5. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, shalt sought see thy children, and peace upon Israel. You see, all these blessings is as a result of what the man has done. You see, this will not come on you, will not come on the man without the work that the role that the man needs to play. You see, when doctrine is painted to us, any doctrine that is painted to us, we have a role to play. Every one of us have a role to play. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. When you go home, it customizes it to what you need to do to run a very good marriage.
Sorry, sir. I want you to please talk around the issue of building. You know, Reverend Busui stayed so much there is a whole lot, so I'm trying to see how we can segment it. Can you talk about what he said concerning building? No, the topic, of course, is raising generational builders. Let's look at that building aspect.
Okay. Well, I can remember that Reverend Busui said is that a man cannot be a builder. You know, he talk about a building, that a man is a building, and there are builders that build. You see, we see our fathers in the Lord as a builder, while we are the building. And I'm trying to. Okay. You see, he was talking about building. He talked about building as a life that we need to build. I can't really dream.
Operate with the building project.
Yeah, I can't really
you
remember.
Can go on to other things.
Okay. I don't know if I can finish the Psalm 128 verse 5. Okay. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, thou shalt see the good of the Israel all the days of thy life. And this also remind us of what blessing is await us. And a man will not have this if it's not being built. Our building, we can't build by ourselves. We can only build by doctrine. And I remember that Daddy Busui painted a picture for us that for a man to build, that if you don't build, a man must have. We must have understanding of even the building for him to build properly. You can imagine when you don't have patterns. Let me use marriage, for example. If you don't have patterns for marriage or parenting, it will be very difficult for you to build. Though you will build according to the standard of the world, but you will not build according to the pattern that the Lord has given to us. Okay, let me move to verse 6. Yea, thou shalt see the children, and peace upon Israel. That is, here he was talking about legacy. That is not, Daddy Buzi was talking about, is not a biological children. He was talking about legacy. That is people that you have built through the doctrine, through the building. You see, building, when you are building, there are people that you also build along the way. It can be the brethren stay with you. It can be your children. He was saying that, I remember he said that if this doctrine do not make some people that don't have child to adopt, that something is wrong with us. That what this verse was talking about was not really talking about biological child. That it was talking about legacy. That legacy, that is, it will, the blessing we extend generation to generation is not something that you build, and at the end of the day, that is all. Thank you.
You know, to review Reverend Busui's message is a lot. Let's appreciate Brobayo once again. Thank you, sir. So, Stayemc, please pick up from where your husband stopped and take us further.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the living Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Well, good evening, Daddy. Good evening, Mommy. Eshe Gonisa, Eshe Ma. Thank you for your love. Thank you for consistency. Just like my husband said, at least we have known them for more than 10 years now. We can say categorically that they have been consistent in this way, in this work, and in what they teach us. from time to time in bringing doctrine to us. We want to appreciate you, man, sir. And we want to thank all the pastorates. So I want to thank the KCC leaders. Thank you, Pastor Shiji is my KCC pastor. And thank you for bringing the word home to us. We appreciate you. And I want to, like I said, our parents are builders. They are builders. And we can only do well when we cooperate with them. We can only do well when we cooperate with them. To continue with the message, I don't know if I can stand up. I will have to use the backdrop to portray the... I'm sorry. Okay, maybe I'll just stand here. Praise the Lord. Okay, like I said that our parents are builders, and I'll start with the fathers. Now, that's how Reverend Busui started too. That to... Actually, we are building. He said the building has to cooperate with the builder. The building has to stay, like you can't, as a building now, you can't say, this is how I want to be laid. That's his word. That was the word he used. That this is how I want to be laid. I don't want to be laid like this. We have to cooperate with what the builder is doing. So, okay, don't let us see angels now. Let us see this image as a man and a woman. Just follow me. I believe we're going to learn one or two things from this. I actually got interpretation to this thing during the review of this message. I've been looking at this thing since November. I've been trying to, God, what is this? I didn't get the interpretation until I was listening to the message. I was discussing with my husband and, you know, I just got the interpretation to it, as in by the message. Okay, like I said, that building a building has to cooperate with the builder. He said that if the builder is disqualified, the building as well will be disqualified. So this posture, okay, like this is a man, this is the woman. This posture is actually a posture of somebody that is in subjection. If you look at the angel is actually at kneeling posture. And when we look at it, when you are kneeling, I'm not talking about physical kneeling now. I'm talking about kneeling in our soul, in our spirit, our posture in the spirit, that we have to be in subjection to the work that God is doing through the builders. We have to actually lay it down. That's the posture. I believe that's the posture of kneeling. And sometimes in the Bible, Jesus Christ portray that posture too. I think in Gary of Gethsemane, he has to kneel to pray. And he's actually portraying a state of subjection to the will of the Father. So when this man is properly placed under Christ, when because of that posture, because of, you know, placing himself under the doctrine, you know, Reverend said, doctrine is the template of building. He said, doctrine is that template, is the foundation of it all. Like, there's nothing we can say about home, about marriage, that you will not route it through the doctrine. If you don't do that, then you are building the wrong way. Then you are not building according to pattern. Just like my husband said, you are not building according to pattern. So this man, the posture is actually in subjection to the will of Christ. Like Daddy taught us, we have God, we have Christ, we have the man and the woman, which is the wife. So now, this man is in subjection to the will of the Father, of Christ, of the Father through Christ. Amen. Amen. So now, because this man is properly placed, the woman too has a role to play in the home. You can't say because my husband is submitting, then I can live my life the way I want. Then, when they are doing that, they will not build properly. Yeah. The woman has to align with the man. The woman has to, you know, aligned with what the man is getting from Christ. That is why sometimes, you know, when the man is giving instruction, when the man is doing some things, as a wife, you have to observe. If you see that this man is not going the proper way, you quickly call him to order, because you are supposed to align under him. So if he's not right, if he's not doing it well, then you will both just sway away. So the woman has to align under that man. And that is our proper place. I want us to, okay, like to buttress the posture now. Let's open to Psalm 23. Okay, I'll just read through. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. That's where I want to. He said, he maketh me to lie down. That means our posture must be lying. Lying to eat. And what are we eating? Doctrine. We have to feed on the doctrine day after day. Amen. So like I was saying, that the woman has to be in subjection to the man. The woman has to be in subjection to the man to be able to achieve the purpose of that home. Amen. Amen. So I want us to open to Numbers chapter 6, verse 5. Praise the Lord. All the days of the vow of his separation. Now he's talking about the Nazarites now. So all the days of the vow of his separation, there shall no razor come upon his head. Until the day be fulfilled, in the which he separated himself unto the Lord. He shall be holy and shall let the locks of the hair of his head grow. I believe this is the proper place of a woman. If you look at that verse very well, that is, I believe, when you are marrying, you are taking a vow. You are taking a vow to be separated. You are taking a vow to not allow your head to be shaved. Daddy said something about the fact that a woman, your head must always be covered. And that is the covering. That is the man over you. We have to come to that place when we stay by our vow. Wow. The Nazarite has actually vowed that they will not, like, it's one of those things. They said they should not drink alcohol, they should not do this and that. But this actually portrayed the woman under the man, that is properly placed under the man. They stay by their vows. They stay by what they vow to do. I'm actually talking to myself too. So we have to stay as women. I might not be able to say much about men, but at least to an extent, I've received commandments here and there about where I'm supposed to be as a woman. We are supposed to be true with our vows. Stay under. Your head must not be shaved. You are separated for that man. I believe we understand me. Then let's go to 1 Peter. Praise the Lord. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. For after this manner, in the old times, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husband. What is our adornment? What is our beauty? Let's read it again. He said, for after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God. They said also. That means as the man is trusting, you are trusting. Praise the Lord. As the man is in that posture, you have to be in the posture as well. Like both of you are in subjection to God. Even though you are directly under your wife, under your husband, but you are still in subjection to God through him. Praise the Lord. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, that's fearing God. Now, according to that Psalm 128, when you trust in God, it means you fear him. That's a place of fear. That's a place of, you know, in subjection. Adorn themselves, being in subjection unto their own husband. I believe we can understand what subjection is then. Okay, now let's go to Isaiah chapter 3. Isaiah chapter 3. Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 3. Okay, let's start from verse 13. Please, I want us to follow this Bible passage. Let's just read together. Praise the Lord. I pray God will give us understanding as we do so. The Lord standeth upon the plead, up to plead, and standeth to judge the people. Now, why is God judging? We'll see. The Lord will enter into judgment with the ancients of his people. That's their forefathers. Like the Awon Babawa. When they say they are Haitians, that means they are fathers. With the Haitians of his people. And the princes. Now, these are men. When they say Haitians, now they are not talking about the women. Now, they are talking about men. Why is God judging them? Why is God judging these people? I want us to look at it very well. The Haitians of his people and the princes thereof. For ye have eaten up the vineyard. The spoil of the poor is in your houses. Let's continue. What mean ye that ye beat my people to pieces and grind the faces of the poor, said the Lord God of hosts. Moreover, the Lord said, because the daughters of... See, now, the judgment is coming to their fathers. Judgment is coming to the men, to princes. Now, they now ask. Let's go to that verse 15. What mean ye? Like, it's like questioning God. Okay, why are you judging us? Why is judgment coming to us? Like, what have we done? He said, what mean ye that ye beat my people to pieces and grind the faces of the poor? Say the Lord of hosts. Like, God is answering them. Now, let's continue. Moreover, the Lord says, because the daughters of Zion are haughty. Now, they are being judged because of their daughters. I don't know if we understand what this place means. Now, is the daughters that actually did something wrong? Is the daughters that has a posture that they are not supposed to have? But now they are judging their fathers. It means that the man has a role to play. If your wife is going to be properly placed, it's vice versa. So the man is playing his role, and you are playing your role as a woman. But firstly, this place is first of all addressing the fathers because they are being judged first. Even though the daughters of Zion are still going to be judged for, you know, not doing the right thing, but the first thing is they are judging the fathers. Now, they said, because the daughters of Zion are haughty. What does it mean to be haughty? You are proud. You can't stay under. You can't stay in your place. You see the havoc we are causing by not doing that. We are causing serious havoc. Don't think when I'm not submitting to my husband, I'm Moshe Ibisin, like Unlomo. You don't understand. You are causing serious havoc. First to your husband and to yourself. So we will get there. He said, moreover, the Lord said, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks, as in, praise the Lord, stretched forth necks, like, Ori. Like it's not supposed to be. See, our it's not Honda. Only what is your Jew, like is now overstretched out. Damn, I Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So that neck is moreover, the Lord said, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks. And wanton eyes, walking and micing as they go, and making a tinkling with their feet. Like, Hussein Tole Bami Sorokin, but my husband cannot even talk to me. I won't listen. You know the kind of walk you walk when somebody is talking to you and you don't want to listen. You walk away. You know that kind of walk. Now, we all know it. Yes, Wafoju Buruku, that's watching eyes. Wafoju Buruku to be any, and you be like, you know, Shelego. Praise the Lord. So therefore, the Lord will smite. See, listen, oh, this is where their judgment comes. Like, this is the beginning of their judgment now. As daughters of Zion. They are judging them now, but see where they start from. They said, therefore, the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion. What is God smiting? The crown. So now, when you're, something that is supposed to cover you, has been smitten, like Otilo. Praise the Lord. So, scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts. Olamajeka Shiriwatu. See, you understand, when we are not properly placed under, then there's nothing to hide. There's nowhere to hide. That's Yeah, you are exposed in the spirit. Thank you, ma. You are exposed. Therefore, the Lord with might. Okay, I've read that one. In that day, the Lord will make away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments. See, everything you see as beauty around you will be taken away. When you are not properly placed under your husband. I'm talking to myself. I'm talking to all women here. Like, either you are married or not. So, now, before you even think of marriage, I'm judging myself as I'm talking like this. When you are thinking of marriage, you are thinking of, I want to stay under. Have that resolve. Just like Nazarites, the way they have to live with that reproach that, okay, this is what I'm in for. I'm taking the vow. They have to make them take vow that they will not cut, they will not shave their hair, they will not drink wine, they will not drink this and that. Like, they have to make them come to that place. Likewise, we women, we are taking vows that we have to be under. Praise the Lord. That verse 18. In that day, the Lord will take away the bravery of their tickling ornament about their feet and their cords and their round tires like the moon. The chains of the bracelets. Those are the things that bring beauty to them. Tojekomashe. Anyhow. So, when God takes it away, then you'll be open in the spirit. You'll be exposed. The chain and the bracelets and the mufflers, the bonnets and the ornaments of the legs, and the headbands and the tablets of the earrings, the rings and nose jewelries, the rings. So all these things are ornaments that brings beauty to a woman. The changeable suits of apparel and the mantles and the wimples and the crisping pins, the glasses and the fine linen, and the hoods and the veils. So all those things you are covering will be exposed. And it shall come to pass that instead of sweets, see, listen, we should not come to a place where we now smell in the spirit. You might be wearing perfume, but you are smelling in the spirit when you are not properly placed under your husband. And it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smelling, there shall be stink, and instead of gadu, a rent, and instead of well-set hair, badness. Instead of well-set hair, there will be badness. That means any hair, like the hair is already shaved now, naturally. No covering. Praise the Lord. And instead of stomach, a garden and sackcloth, and burning instead of beauty. So now, if you don't want to lose your beauty as a woman, you stay under. I'm talking to myself, so we stay under. Praise the Lord. So now, because of that posture of the man and the posture of the woman, staying under the man properly, you are now staying in your place. When I say properly, you are under. Now, staying in your place, that is when both of them can build a house. You can see that structure that is like a structure of a house. Yes. See those angels, if they are not in this posture, I wonder if the wing will actually come to that shape to build, to make a, like it's a building. If you look at it, this is a roof. So it's like a covering. And whosoever is in this house cover over their head. So that wing is actually bringing cover to children, to the children in the home, to whosoever is under is in the atmosphere. And because they are properly placed, because the man is under Christ, because the woman is under the man, they bring in the presence of God into their home. And that is the place of the ark. The ark denotes the... Sorry.
Amen. Amen. You know, when you actually set your heart to review a message, that's how it opens up. And I hope this would encourage someone to...
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, for you've just heard me speak even to you. For I've spoken, even before, and yet again bringing it even to your heart again, that we want to come. Even we want to come, we want to come. We want to come to homes. We want to come to dwell in homes. We want to come to dwell in household. We want to come to dwell for even household that are raised even unto me are my dwelling places here on earth. Even household that are raised even unto me are my dwelling places on earth. For I say even that alignment and arrangement properly. Even get it properly. For there is an order. Even there is an order that sets the house in place for even angels to come. We want to come. We want to come. We've been saying it. We want to come. 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 We want to come even into households. We want to come to household because we are also houses. Houses. Even houses. Even homes. Even homes. Even homes. Even homes. Allow your home to be the place where we can even operate from. Even come to fellowship. Come to bring blessing. Come to bring blessing. For even the blessing of the churches, even the blessing I bring to the churches, is in the home that it can be made manifest. Is in the home that it can be made manifest. Is in the home that it can be made manifest. Let even every family begin to look. Begin to look. Begin to look and begin to cover those loopholes. Begin to cover those loopholes. Even begin to cover those loopholes where disobedience, where ignorance have even punctured. And Satan has taken advantage. We come with either blessing or judgment. When we come and we find your home in Israel, judgment. But when we come and we find you in order, blessing. Choose ye this day, whether blessing or judgment. Whether blessing or judgment. For we have said it and we are coming. Take heed. Say the Lord. Amen.
Pray and repent in our hearts. I wanted to just commune with God for about a minute. The word of the Lord has come to confirm that which was said. The Lord said he's visiting home. Choose ye, whether judgment or blessing. I want us to just repent in our hearts and ask the Lord for help to align. You know, there is a manner, you know, Reverend Wayne speaking said it is the Father who measures out the standard. Obedience is not complete if you are the one rating yourself. I want us to just pray that the Lord will help us. I really hope we are praying that the Lord would help each and every one of us. There is an alignment in the home, in the household, not only for a woman to the husband and the husband to Christ through the leadership in the household of faith, but even one to another. Can we pray for grace? Grace to be in submission, to be in subjection. In the name of Jesus, none of us will be haughty. None of us will be full of ourselves. None of us will go in our own way. None of us would stray. There is a way that seems right unto a man that leads unto destruction. None of us will walk in that path. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise the Lord. All right. Sister Messi.
Good evening, everybody. I want to thank Mommy and Daddy. Thank you so much for who you are to me and my husband. Because when I was reviewing this message, and I will stand up, ma. When I was reviewing this message, and I saw all the characteristics of the blessed man that Reverend Busui laid out, I could relate it with people that I saw. And I'm really very grateful. Thank you for being that example, and thank you for laying down your life. God bless you, sir and ma. I want to thank the associate pastors, everybody. They are like parents to me as well, because I don't think I'll be here if people like Pastor Shiji, Pastor Dayo, Pastor Friday were not there. I even had them make statements like, if I ever say I will leave, they will fight me tooth and nail. So thank you so much for fighting me tooth and nail so that I could remain here today. God bless you all. In Jesus' name. And I want to thank all the SLTs and the HODs and the everybody here. Okay, Reverend Musi started by reading Psalm 128. Then he almost went on immediately to talk about the disciples of Jesus and how that they expected the manifestation of his coming to be in the physical. And he was not supposed to come in the physical. He was supposed to be born in them. They were supposed to be representatives of his life in the natural. So that was what he meant by him coming back. But, you know, Jesus was expecting that they would make him visible on the earth. But he also went on to say that that manifestation was not completed in their days. And he would even go on to say that it might not even be accomplished in our days as well. That it's a thing to be passed on to children, to other people. Okay, so then he now mentioned that extending the frontiers of the kingdom, well, in my own word, is the goal of ministry. That nobody should be doing ministry just for the sake of being profitable with the business of ministry, as it were, quote and unquote. He said that the purpose of ministry is to extend the frontiers of the kingdom, that is to make the things of the kingdom known, to be more dispersed around the world. So, and from this, I saw that, you know, whenever daddy has a what do we call it now? Like retreats with workers, he usually says that we are all ministers. And when I went to check the dictionary meaning of a minister is one. There was an archaic meaning, which I want to believe is the original meaning of the word anyway, that is one who serves, one who is meant to bring a message, one who is meant to convey a thing. And another meaning of it is that it is someone who is less than an ambassador. So that really struck a chord inside me that, wow, so we are all meant to be ministers before we can even become ambassadors of Christ, which means that what Jesus actually really wants is people, you know, an ambassador is someone that can fully represent a country. That is, we have been told that. But if a minister is less than an ambassador, then we are all meant to be ministers of a sort at some levels. You know, like she was saying, I want to believe that all she was saying then was pointing to the fact that a man is a minister in his home, and a woman should also be a minister in her home too, of life, nothing else. And if we are all meant to be ministers, then that means that ministry is what would gradually shift us to be in a place of being an ambassador at the end of the day. Okay, then on building, there was something he said, I think, they mentioned it also in passing, and Sister Yemisi mentioned it in passing. She said that one who is being built must know the parameters of the building. You know, there was nowhere in the Bible where they were building any of the temples or anything that had to do with the ark, anything God, there were specific measurements. But, you know, those things are just a type. Those woods and stones cannot know their own measurements. But as we are being built, we are meant to be a building. A whole building that is called Mercy is just a block in the general building of City Gate. City Gate Church is like a larger block in the general building of the whole body of the church. So in that sense, it means that I must know every single person is important in the project of the building. If a block is chipped, or a block is not well formed, or a block is deformed in a place, it's going to cause a defect in a particular building. And it's going to affect everybody. Look at, honestly, I really love all the things she explained with Isaiah 3 especially. Is it 3? Isaiah 3. Okay. You know, she was saying that it was the daughters of Zion that were walking wantonly. But see what happened. The judgment had to go to the person that was building, the head of all of them, then to the daughter of Zion. Of course, the judgment will get to the children as well. So we have to all make sure that we are building according to pattern, and we know the pattern, which is, you know, we must know the doctrine. We must know the intricacies of everything that will build us so that we can cooperate with the builder of the building. Okay. Then another thing he mentioned is that Jesus can't build just anything. He can't build just anything. Neither should our pastors build just anything. Neither should any husband or wife build just anything. Jesus is an excellent person. There is nowhere in the Bible, when you look at all of the dealings of Jesus, there was even a part in the Bible that they said he has done all things well. There is everything that defines who Jesus is excellence. And when we are building, and the excellency of the word of the kingdom is the message of salvation, that is the goal of the message of the kingdom. Salvation, glory, immortality, eternity with God, being a bride of the Lamb, being an habitation of God. That is where we are gunning for. That is what our goal is. So if that is not what is being preached, that means there is something substandard. There is something less than what should be done that is being done. There is something that is being watered down in the message that we should pay careful attention to. All right. Another thing here is that he said, our eyes of understanding must be open to access the spirit of revelation when we cooperate with the building. Then, after he mentioned also that after the doctrine has been mentioned in every epistle, the first thing they go to is the home. And then he mentioned that there are two epistles like that that were not correctional. They were just for building. And Ephesians and Colossians. So he said that when we look at these epistles, what he basically did was to, after saying all he was going to say to encourage everyone, he went straight for the homes and began to admonish the wives, the husbands, and then to workplaces. Because these are the places where we showcase the life we are learning. If we come to church and we hear the message, I'm sure you have heard this several, many, many times, we hear the messages, we go home, and then we are doing contrary to what we've heard, we've not heard. Or we go to the place of work, we are not representing God. So it means that we are not better than an average person out there that is just hearing, Jesus bless me, Lord bless me, I cast away Satan and demons in my home. We are on the same pedestal with them. That is what it means. Or maybe our neighbors hear us fighting. Your head is not correct. She is me that you are saying my head is not correct. You too, your nose is like a crocodile. So if both of you, you and your husband and your wife, both of you are just always abusing one another, shouting and fighting every time, you can't go to them, or they won't even come to you and tell you that, please, there's nothing in you that can attract them to you. You don't have an authority. Even if you want to preach the word to them, there is nothing this Holy Spirit wants to ride on, because your life has already degraded the message. And whatever is coming out from your mouth to look like nonsense, it has been breathed upon by your spirit, which is not the spirit of God, by what you have allowed to culture your home and to culture the way you are being seen by the world, because you're obviously not a light in that environment. Okay. Another thing he now says here, because where I really want to go is where, you know, he really talked extensively about the children. He spoke about the children. So that's, okay, I should just go there. Okay, I think I'm already there. All right, he said the soul of man is meant to be trained before exposure to the world, not vice versa. That's in Proverbs 22 verse 6. So in Proverbs 22 verse 6, it says to train up a child the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. So what he was just trying to explain here is that there should be a culturing in the homes such that when the children go out, it will be so difficult for them to change away from what they've known. It will be very difficult. There was something I saw on social media a while back that these white teachers were talking about, some Christian white teachers. They were speaking about how that they saw some propaganda people that were doing these LGBT propaganda in schools, that they could see that some of them were spiritualists, that they could see right through some kids that this one is kind of covered. We can't really we can't really penetrate this one. That they were saying things like that. I was really shocked. I was like, what? What is the meaning of this? That they said there is something covering some of those children that they feel they can't even get to them. That it's going to be a waste to get to those children. Because it's always been a source of concern to me for people that travel out of the country, how they will take care of their children. So that one girl will not wake up one day and say, I identify as a cat. Or I identify as a male, or I identify as a, because those things really, I used to look at people that's one thing that really scares me about it. How are people going to like protect these kids? They will go to schools. What if they come back home and start meowing like a cat one day and say, yeah, I'm a cat, and there's nothing you can do about it, daddy. If you beat me, I'm going to run to the authorities and you will not see your child again. So these are really things that if we are examples in the home, is meant to help us to guard against. You know, he mentioned that we took up interest in evangelism, but the power to do well is in when we are blessed in our homes. So the real evangelism is in the homes. It is inside, it is in the core of what you culture. It is a culturing inside your home. I heard daddy responding to daddy in the message that this culturing is a culturing. So there is something that when a man is under will do. You know, when the person that was telling that, I think it's Pastor Shiji, that Bible reading thing, that's First Chronicles. When they were telling us to read it, that Bible reading thing that we were doing, you know, if you look at the first chapters, it's genealogy. They were writing the names. So I just took up an interest that what is genealogy safe? Why are we, what is, share this genealogy, does it have any meaning? Because I don't understand. But that day I just decided that, okay, if I have to read genealogy, let me be looking at the meaning of their names. Because I was studying my Bible one day and I realized that an average Jew will really understand the Bible more than we do. Because if the Bible was written in Yoruba now, let's say the core of the Bible was in Yoruba, you know, we are walking around a road called Bodija. We know the meaning of the word Bodija. It's not like when we see something like we see Bethlehem, Judah. They know the meaning of Bethlehem, Judah. They know what it means. They have an understanding of that word Bethlehem, Judah. So what I decided to check was the meaning of those names. I was like, okay, what's the meaning of this name? Let me even see if there's any fine name. That was how we started, though, until I discovered the progression. So I looked and I began to see that some of them, they actually upgraded in their names and in their reality, while some of them had a very vast decline in their names and in their reality. And you know, naming is nature. And when a parent names a child, it depends on either your relationship with God, whether your instruction to name the child that name, or maybe what you are experiencing at that point in time. Like Benjamin, he was named Benoni by Rachel before Jacob renamed him and changed the name to Benjamin. We can remember Jabez too. You know, he had to pray to God before God changed. You know, there are a couple more people that their names were changed in the Bible like that. Many people, Abraham, Saul, Jacob, many, many people had a lot of name changes in the Bible. But what I discovered was that when you look at the genealogy of Noah, Ham was the one that was caused. You will see that his line was the one that generated the Canaanites, all those Inns, all the Egyptians, all the people that can be said to be world troublers, Babylon, everything, they were from him. They were from Ham. All of them were from Ham. Then I discovered another thing, Shem. We can see that Shem was the one that his genealogy, Abraham, came from him. All of them, they came from Ham. Then, you now know, if you go to Genesis chapter 6, is it Genesis chapter 6? I think so. That is where their blessings were. The sons of Noah. You will see that it was said that Japheth, maybe we should go there. Please, can we go to Genesis 6? No, I think it's Genesis 9, sorry. Genesis 9 from verse 26. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. Wow. Now, if you look at Japheth, Japheth was the Isle of the Gentiles. It was like the people like in the middle, like all of us here like this. we are beneficiaries of shame, as it were. But even if you want to look at their spiritual meanings and realities, the children of Ham, they are the troublers of the world. They are the people that have been put there that, okay, since you people have chosen that you want to be the spawn of Satan, you want to be his footstool, you want to be the one through which Satan will live vicariously, then so be it for you. And it is very difficult for anybody that is born inside that genealogy to actually eject themselves out of there. Because, you know, as God has been speaking through our fathers, you know, they tell us that whatever has been in your generation, Satan has studied you. He knows what is inside your blood. He knows how to get you. So for you to even extricate yourself from all of the weavings, all the work of tapestry that Satan has done inside your soul is a very, very difficult thing. It is hard. Hardly will you find anyone from that place. So we can see that even some of the people that were not, as it were, in the line of the children of Israel were able to be taken into the genealogy of Jesus. And that's another thing I want us to look at. If you look at the genealogy of Jesus, it says 14 generations from this person to this person, another 14 generation. But if you look at all of those 14 generations, they were carefully followed by God. God followed their life to the teeth. Each of them, God policed their lives particularly. My seed must come from this line. And when my seed comes from this line, I want a womb that will not eject the seed of the Holy Spirit. For them to be able to get a womb that will bear the Holy Seed, it took them years and years and years and years. And for Satan to be able to now get these people too. In fact, I saw that Grecian people gone, they are from that line of Ham. Okay, so another thing I would say on this, on that final note on this genealogy thing, I will say again is that if you look at Esau was a child of Isaac. Isaac was a consecrated man to God. Isaac, from a very young age, he didn't even give God issues. They laid him on the altar. A young man that can butcher his father sharp sharp. It's me that you want to come and kill. Are you okay, Baba? It will kill him fast, fast now. But the guy he just laid there, it was like a typology of Jesus, right? Yeah. He gave birth to Esau. Look at what Esau did. But Esau also gave birth to a child. I think he named him God is Gold or something like that. He named him a very good name. But when you now look at the genealogy of Esau too, eventually we start seeing names like Strife, names like Rebellion, names like Terror. Inside his... No, that was what he degraded to. So I just realized that it is whatever we put now, you know, whatever we do, each of us do, we don't know that we are doing it for generations yet unborn. It is accruing to our accounts in that line. It's our bloodline. It is a bloodline, blood. And blood can never, you can't really erase the effect of blood easily. So if we are talking about evangelizing, the normal day-to-day way we are living our lives is an evangelism to the children unborn.
Yes.
It is what our children are seeing. It is what they see that they will follow. Yeah. If they look at you, you are not reading your Bible. You know, Pastor Reverend Busui made two examples, and I would like to mention those two examples because they are very important. The first one, he said Pastor Alfred was telling him, when they were going to start their school, that they should make it expensive, make it branded, do all of those things. He said he submitted to him. When he said he submitted to him, I first opened my said, Kilode, a whole Reverend Busui, you submit to him for what reason? He knows better. Now, why should he submit? But I want to believe that, you know, I noticed that Mommy Busui has also said something like that before, that he doesn't enforce anything. That is, eventually she will see things and come to say, okay, so this thing has been so. And he mentioned two examples that were exactly like that. So which means that he's evangelizing both his wife, the pastors, everybody under him by his own lifestyle. He's not even having to speak so much as he's living a life before them. So he said that when this old school thing was going to happen, that he told them that, okay, let's do it the way. He said the first year they got 3 students. And that afterwards it was like, okay, should we now do it my way? He said, okay, let's try your own way. That he now said people should come free of charge. That they should just come, and that In less than 3 years, their school became one of the best schools in the whole of Ondo State. And they were not government accredited just yet. That just told him that, wow, okay, daddy, you were right all along. So he used that to say, because he spoke a little bit about finances, that you build men. You build souls first before you now start looking for, that is the souls that you build that would enrich you. That you make a product first in men. Before you start saying you want to get money, that you should not run after money first. Then another thing he said, another example was his child, Joshua, that was bringing brethren to his house. He said they will go through their mother, and that once he's gone through there, that is a done deal. That eventually, after maybe some of the brethren gave them wahala, he said, daddy, now I know it's by the spirit we should be bringing people in, or we should not be doing. So imagine if his father had already told him that, it's not how they do it. First, go and use the same. These old men have come, Jare. All the time, they'll be saying, by the spirit. But he learns by himself. He saw for himself that, okay, this is the way to do it. This is not the way to do it. So that way, he was able to help him to know how to live his life another time. All right. I think my time is up. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Let's appreciate her. You know, I really appreciate how Star Mercy dwelt on the issue of genealogy. Because even the topic of that message was raising generational fathers. So I want her husband to pick it up from there. Reverend cited some examples. I want you to talk around the prodigal son. I want you to talk around Timothy, how that the illustrations he made using them and talking about how doctrine and lifestyle should be passed from one generation to another. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, ma'am. All right, I want to start by appreciating Daddy and Mommy. I want to say, Daddy, thank you so much. Thank you, Mommy, for your labor in the spirit and for watching over our souls. We are eternally grateful, my wife and I. And also, I want to appreciate all our associate pastors, Pastor CG, Pastor Friday, Pastor Dayo, my unit head, Pastor Missimos, Pastor Eto Abbasis, and all the SLT and HODs. Thank you very much for your consistency, your labor. I know that we're all coming to the reward of our service. In Jesus' name. And also to everyone seated, thank you so much, brethren. The Lord is our strength. We would finish what the Lord has begun. You know, we will not be an abandoned project. Every work that the Lord has begun in us will be completed in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right, continuing from where, thank you, sweetheart, for that angle with which you came from. Continuing from thank you so much, sir. Thank you, ma'am, for the previous review that was said, even concerning the same message. All right. Continuing from where they have stopped. Reverend was talking about the blessed man, you know, and the blessed man is not just, you know, he said something about the fact that, you know, it's not about the things he has in the natural. Amen. All right. The blessed man is not blessed because of what he has in the natural. It's not blessed because of his physical possessions, but he's blessed because of what he has acquired by reason of a walk. You know, he has been able to follow in the way, you know, and has acquired nature by cutting covenant, you know, with life. You know, and by reason of that, he has an inheritance that he can pass over to generations, you know, beginning from his first child, which Reverend made us understand that is his wife. that the wife is the first child of the man because he is meant to husband her. You know, as if the wife is the vine, you know, that's Psalm 128 was talking about the wife being a vine, you know, by the side of the house. If the wife is a vine, it means the man is the vine dresser. The man is the husbandman. You know, and looking at the vine, I realized that I was even surprised that the vine is not, it's not really a tree that can really stand on its own, as it were. The vine is like a climbing tree. It needs to lean. And I was surprised that even, why did Jesus even refer to himself as divine? And not, I would have thought that, okay, Jesus should say, maybe I am the sycamore tree. Or I am the cedar tree, yes. You know, but the nature of Christ is such that it's a mixed spirit. You know, just like of all the animals that you chose to represent the life, it was the sheep, the lamb. The same also, the vine tree is like the meekest of trees. It cannot stand on its own. It needs support. And that is where the husband comes in. The vine cannot grow without the support of the vine dresser. So that's why even when Jesus was talking about in that John 15 about the vine, he mentioned, my father is the husbandman. Yeah. So you cannot see a vine cannot stand without the husbandman. Yeah. So also in the place of the home, the woman is the vine. And the reason why she can be a vine is because there is someone that is tending that vine. So by reason of that tending, she can come into her full stature as a vine. So I was just saying that the man must have something to give. You know, he must have something to sow into the woman, to raise her. You know, and also, the children being olives, I realized that both the olives and the vine, they are not trees of, you know, maybe earth, these trees of the earth, or maybe trees in the Cedar of Christ. They are everlasting trees, trees that speak of everlasting life. So it means that what we are meant to come into as families is everlastingness. Yeah. Yeah. You know, because even what, when you're talking about man really begins from a living soul. Yes. Because the first man that God created was a living man. So it was because of the fall that we began to have maybe a makeshift, like something to upgrade us to the place of man. So man, first of all, really starts from everlasting life. So, but because of how much we are falling, we will have to now learn. So that's why if we are joking with, you know, the season of training with the Holy Ghost, season of training with Christ, our journey is still very, very far. Because you have never started living. You have never come to the point of the garden. You know, before man fell, you've never gone to the garden, not talk of getting to internal life. You know, what was ahead of man? You know, there was something that was ahead of Adam. You know, that thing is still over man. We must come there. That is our destination. That is our destiny. Our destiny is that we must come into the place of the inheritance of the life of God. You know, and that's a promise for man. So now, talking about generational blessings. You know, as a man must have what to give. And Reverend was talking about Naboth's vine and how that it was not just about the land, but what is on the land. Yeah. And that land was from his father's father. Yeah. You know, and I was looking at it that, you know, if you inherit a land from your father's father, the value would have appreciated in your time. So I was saying that what Naboth's grandfather gave to Naboth's father must have appreciated in life by the time he gets to Naboth. Yeah. Now, this is the reason. Let me just give a different instance. Now, imagine if in our time it takes us 20 years to attain the life of Christ. Yeah. Our children should not use the same 20 years to get to Christ. Yeah. The reason is that there is a foundation for them to climb on. Yeah. So if we use 20 years to get to Christ, then our children should use 10 years to do that same journey. Then our children's children should use like maybe 5 years. Yeah. Why? Because it should be getting better. Yeah. It should be getting finer. Yeah. The life will be getting finer as we age. Yeah. You know, so I was just saying that there is something about our focus. Because if we are not focused, it's not just for ourselves. There are those that are tied to our loins that we must know that, okay, because of those, imagine if the apostles did not do their own obedience fully. You know, we need to start from where they started from.
Yes,
but now we are standing upon their shoulders.
Yes.
We can open epistles. You know, we can begin to break that in and come into that life that they had laid down. You know, Reverend was talking about the fact that they prophesied. You know, they could not really come to the full manifestation of that thing. But what they did is foundational.
Yeah.
And it is necessary. Without it, there is no way we can even pick up. So, but we are picking up from where they have laid. Hallelujah. So now, this is where fathers come in. Fathers are like ladders. You know, because they are to raise men from the earth to the heavens. It's a connection. So how now that is like our ladder. You know, now because we don't know the way. You know, we have to see. Bible was talking about following those who through faith and patience. So we must see, there are people that must be examples before us that we must see. You know. And the reason why we have to follow them is because they have paved a way for us to go. You know, even Jesus needed John the Baptist, you know, to actually set some things in order. You know, and he began to ride on it. You know, the same thing with us also. Our fathers have laid a way, a conversation for us that makes us know that when some commandments come, it will not look strange to us again. Why? Because we have seen our parents live a life that have justified that this commandment, there is an end that is sure, which is life. So now, doing some obedience is not really, it's not a question of our own yieldedness, because already we have examples before us. So fathers are ladders that are meant to take us to a destination. You know, so for the prodigal son, Reverend said that there was no need for merriment for the other son. Because he's at home. There was the approval for that son was not anything external. It wasn't anything external. There was an approval that of an inheritance of you are always with me. Hallelujah. So you what my way, you know my way, you know my conversation. Hallelujah. So my things are yours. So now what that prodigal son that came into, that merriment was because he had strayed away. Now they needed to welcome him back. But that same training of the son, of the other son, he will go through it. He will always go through it. He will definitely go through it. Now the same thing also, some of us might be envying or looking at those outside that are not hearing what you are hearing. And you are saying that, but God, this person prayed for a car. You gave him a car. You know, anything he asks, he gives you. You give it to him. But for me, why are you dealing with me? You don't understand that you are fulfilling a season. You know, the Bible is talking about fulfilling all obedience. You know, judging all disobedience when your obedience is what complete. You know, the same thing with us too. If we don't finish our own course now, those persons outside there, you know, they will not see any light to follow.
Yes, yes.
But if you can fully follow now, those persons you are like even looking at, they will begin to see your light and begin to respond also. In fact, they might run faster because now they see that, what I was doing for a long time, there was no profit in it. So they can begin to now respond to the light. You know, Reverend spoke so much. I thought my wife was going to talk about the children. You know, but there is something that the children must see. Reverend was talking about the fact that children must grow and mix trees. They must grow and mix trees. You know, why? Because those trees are necessary for their upbringing. Because what they will face outside, there are people that have aged in iniquity that they are confronting every day. So they need that canopy in the family. Hallelujah. They need that canopy. They need that windbreaker in the family to be able to, you know, withstand what is in their own age. You know, Adam grew among trees. Adam and Eve. They were in the garden, they were among trees. You know, they were meant to partake of those trees, eat until they get to the final tree. You know, but they could not, that tree was to give them stature to eat that tree, to eat the tree of life. Without partaking of those trees, there's no way they can partake of the tree of life. Now, for our children, our children, now, okay, for Adam, for example, the Lord normally come in the cool of the day. You know, so Adam was not only just feeding from the fellowship with the Lord. He was also feeding from the trees. Yeah. The same thing with our children also. There's some things that your children might not exactly get from you as a father. But the trees in the house, you know, the trees, they can see a life. Yes, because there are different fruits. You know, so there are some trees, that each tree can speak particular to a particular child. You know, they can. There's a way that they can reach a child that even you as a father might not reach. No, but as a father, you are over the house. So even the trees, they are feeding from you also. You know, but and the children are now benefiting from that thing. So Reverend made us understand that it's a house of fathers and children. You know, because some children are fathers at some level, and at another level, they are children. So, but like the Joel's army, there's no breaking of rank. Everybody is staying in their course. You know, everybody is staying in their course. So there is something that must flow. If we don't stay aligned, so nothing will flow. Because mommy will always talk about gradient. That there's a need for gradient, for oil to flow. So something must flow from the head down to the garment. Hallelujah. Yeah. So now for us.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Can we appreciate Brother Theophilus? A lot has gone into that. You know, one major thing, Reverend.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm speaking in multiple layers, say the Lord. I'm speaking to many. I'm speaking to you at your different levels. I'm speaking to you. I'm speaking and my voice is resounding, reaching to you at different states and multiple layers. I'm speaking to singles. I am speaking to the couples. I am speaking to the single. My speaking to the single, I'm painting what should be in your mind. Oh, I'm painting what you should see. This should drive you. When you think of family, When you think of marriage, this should drive you. This is the vision. I'm painting the vision. This should drive you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Anything else that is in your mind is not from me. Anything else that is not in this line, that is not in this order, is not my way. So I'm painting this. This should be in your mind. Let this mind be a driving force in your soul. Let this mind be a driving force in your soul. I'm speaking unto all sort of couples. I'm speaking unto couples. I'm speaking. I'm asking. I'm speaking to you for a conversation that is heavenly. A conversation that is heavenly. I want heavenly conversation on earth. I want heavenly conversation on earth. I want homes that is full of trees. I want a place that is for my rest. I want a place that is for my rest. I rest among trees. I rest among trees. A place where I can rest. A place that is like heaven, 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 the place of trees. Heaven, the place of shade. Heaven, the place of trees. It's a palamania lia crashte valande ze balashte lia malanania like a praste neale. I want trees that better than the trees I am dwelling among now. I want trees that is better than the trees I am in their midst. I want you to be trees. Trees. Husband, be trees. Hamalia, be trees. Husbands, be trees. Be trees. 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 I want trees. I want trees. I want your gathering to be a forest, a place of many trees. A place of many trees. I want your gathering to be a forest for protection, for shade where I can nurture, where children will be safe and grow under my watch. See you the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Can we appreciate the Zekos and Theophilos? Thank you so much for blessing us. Very quickly, can we have brother and sister Hassan? And brother and sister Oni, we're going to be reviewing the fight of faith, which was taken by our own father, Pastor Dimeji. Please be very quick, sir. You know, looking at Reverend Busi's message, Reverend said very pronounced, very, very loudly that it takes fathers who have been raised to raise children. You know, the interpretation of the tongues says that God is looking for trees who can provide a shade. Really, you cannot give what you don't have. For brethren in various households, this is a challenge to us. In the household where you live, what exactly are you bringing to the table? Are you just enjoying the accommodation? You are eating free food and all. What exactly are you bringing to the table? Like I tell those in my house, I said, God will ask you about these children. You know, we should be such brethren that our children can be safe. You know, you are not around for 1 day, 2 days, 1 week, and you know that not safe in terms of just taking care of them physically, but you have something to deliver. And like Mommy Jelly says, if you are single and you're not spending your time in the world and you have nothing to offer, by the time you get married, you'll just be a disaster. I pray the Lord would help us in Jesus' name. So we are looking at fight of faith, securing the souls of our children. I don't know who wants to go first. Hassan's, Oni's.
Okay. Brother Timmy. Hallelujah. Okay. Praise God. Okay. Good evening, sir. Good evening, ma. Good evening, pastors, warden. Good evening, church. Yes. Okay. Sorry, I don't have too much to say. Okay. We're reviewing the fight of faith, securing the soul of our children. Okay, so I have about a few points pointed out while reviewing the message. Okay, so I wrote down that while reviewing the message, there's a point, some points I got from there. So number one is there's a raging battle in the realm of the spirit on the souls of emerging generation. Also, there's a generation that God has given the responsibility to bed forth the new season and a new dispensation of the grace of God upon the church. Okay, no. So now this generation, there's an expectation of Jesus from this generation that is supposed to bed this new season. Now, everyone seated here carries a seed of a generation. When God sees us, He's not seeing just one person. He sees generations and generations that will come from us. So, He sees generations that will come from us. Okay, so there is a raging battle in the realm of the spirit against generations of men that is to come forth. So God is enrolling men, women, and families also to come into the process of equipping themselves, to prepare themselves in this generational battle. So our families are to be a place where a kingdom center where there is equipping, where the purposes of God can be bettered in the lives of our children. So we can see that in Genesis 12, where it says that Genesis 22, where it says that our seeds will possess the gates of the enemy. So this is the destiny of our children to come into this thing. So children here is not necessarily saying teenagers or probably lesser than that. Children here is most of the times the parents labor on children are not seen in the beginning of probably the first stage of the child. So it takes some time. So the work now is more on the parents to take their stand, where so that the child can when goes away, it will definitely come back to that thing, come back to agreeing to that thing that you have laid already, that thing that you have obeyed consistently, your consistent walk with God. So parenting takes a lot of faith. It takes a lot of understanding what God has used you, to put in a child. So even when the child goes away, it will definitely come back agreeing with that same thing. That same thing that you have laid in your obedience, in your consistent obedience in God. So I also wrote down something. It says that when you're not a covenant keeper, you cannot raise children that will follow the Lord. So the fight of faith is laboring of a parent to take your stand in the realm of the spirit concerning the will of God. Concerning the will of God over your children. So it is laboring actually. The fight of faith is making sure that you first take your stand, then your children or the next generation can come into that you have laid. Praise God. Okay, so I said when it comes to possessing the purposes of God for us, it will take a fight of faith to possess it. We saw in Abraham from Genesis 12, what we saw in Abraham in Genesis 12 was a fight of faith. His obedience over a long period of time. So this obedience that he has done, he laid a foundation for Isaac and Jacob. So it gave them a quicker access, or they don't have to go through the same route that their parents, their father has gone through. It's make it more easier for them to journey with the Lord. Okay, so God is basically, part of the things I wrote down, God is basically relying on the faithfulness of a generation to bring forth his to bring forth his agenda on the earth. Now walking with God, walking with God over a period of time, our flaws tend to come up. We make mistakes. We sometimes not do things right. We make bad decisions. But the main thing there is that we have the heart that is ready to be corrected. To be, when God brings His standard, that we're not giving excuse. We're not trying to say this is why I did it. This is why we are willing to make quick adjustment to it. So that is the kind of art that is not that we will not make mistake. Now, this is not to say, okay, keep making mistake. No, this is to make you have a heart that is willing that this thing that I've done, I will not go back to it. I will make corrections. Okay, so over time, after with our walk with God, over time, God has a way of correcting these mistakes, correcting these errors that you cannot even longer connect back to you. Now, as an artist, I can relate this with creating an artwork. When you start painting, at the beginning, it's not always pleasing to the eye. You will not see what, only the artist can see what he is seeing, what is in a mind to bring down. Everybody around will just be seeing probably paint and strokes like that. You won't really understand what is going on. I remember back then in school when we, in the studio, when we have visitors come around to, because they know they will see beautiful things in the studio. So you can literally hear people behind you, probably you're painting, you can hear people behind you, doesn't know what he's doing, because they won't really see the picture of what you are doing yet. They will just, okay, maybe he's still learning, maybe he doesn't know the basics yet. Yes, maybe he doesn't know what he's doing yet, but it takes for you to come into what the artist is, what is an artist's mind, what the artist is saying exactly, to be able to understand that this person, okay, now those people, when they come back again to see that work that you were probably working, they'll be like, wow, so this is what you are doing. So now to create a masterpiece, it takes a lot of patience, it takes a lot of perseverance. Because sometimes those things that they say might get to you, even the artist, and you will doubt yourself sometimes. Am I really getting this thing? Do I know what I'm doing? But over time, when you are working, when you keep working, you see, you get encouraged yourself. So even when the artist is working and there's a mistake, over time, towards the end part, you can trace the mistake again. The mistake has given it even more beauty. You won't really see that part again, that what other people are seeing. So it is the same thing with the Lord, that you, when your mistake is, doesn't define you. So you have to keep following and make sure that, okay, this person is following the Lord and is willing. So the thing that is important really is the heart. Is the heart willing to follow the Lord? Are you correctable? Are you teachable? Or are you just stubborn? So, praise God. Okay, so the question now really is, are we willing to go on a long-term journey with the Lord? Because this thing does not take a short period of time. Because the modern Christianity now, there's this concept that you don't want really long-term thing with the Lord, short and just get what you want to get, sharp, sharp, and just don't take too long. So, but it's a long journey with the Lord. We can see that in Abraham's journey from Genesis 12, to 22. So in the message, it was said that it was 40 years journey. So it takes a long term commitment with the Lord to get better. Praise God. So there's 2 minutes. Okay, there's a task before this generation. There's a task before this generation. So coming to the gathering of the saints should not be casual. Should not be coming to church. Should not be casual. Church must be the gathering of saints who are serious with cutting covenants with the Lord. It mustn't be just okay, because they say whatever you do now, it shows in the next generation. It shows on how you pass it down to the, what is what you do now, your decisions now, that will determine the next generation, how they'll come to God. Praise God. So again, I wrote down that the template of the kingdom is fatherhood and sonship. Basically, the template of the kingdom is fatherhood and sonship. And why is there sonship? Sonship is because there is something God wants to pass down. There is something God wants to see in man. Creation generally. The purpose of creation is because God wants to see himself in man. And that also has to be our when you want to probably have a family given birth, why are you looking forward to have a family? Why do you want to give birth? The main reason should be seeing what God has done in you, in your children, seeing what God has done in you, passed down to the next generation. So it shouldn't be something of self. Anything that you're doing that is of self is not the will of God. So God wants to see himself in creation, and also this should be the reason for having a family, because you want to see what God has done in you passed down. I pray we'll find a place in these things in Jesus' name.
Can we appreciate Brother Tony? All right. Just pass it to your wife. You knew it was coming to you. All right, you just take us.
Good evening, Daddy. Good evening, Mommy. Good evening to the associate pastors. Good evening, brethren. Like, I'll just give summary of what, I heard, like the message. I couldn't finish the message because I was just sleeping. Like, it's like the. Like the message, I don't know, maybe it's too strong for me, I don't know. But like, I was able to sleep and at least get some things. Sincerely, like I used to say, I don't know much, like I don't understand anything, but whatever, like I see that is right, like I make sure I follow. Like earlier this year when Pastor Yes, the pastor was saying it like before, like people used to ask, you know, then that what's your career like, what do you want to become in life? I mean, I don't know, like I don't know what I want to become like. So I always feel somehow when others are saying what they want to become like, I feel like is it that, like I'm just living like I'm useless, like I don't know what I want to become. But when Daddy now said, like, the purpose, like, your purpose in life is to follow God's will, like, do God's will. That's it now. So. At least if I don't know anything, that one I know, and I will follow. So. So listening to the message, like some of it's really like practical to me, like what I've experienced, even like in my family like that. So like Daddy said, our families are supposed to be kingdom center. God wants to raise an army through us, not raising an army that will take care of us when we are at old age, like we've known before. Like, I was asking my husband, like, sometimes I ask questions a lot. Pastor, she is aware of that. Like, I just want to know things. Like, I was, like, I don't really like that idea of parents taking care of their children because there's something, they want to gain something at the end. Like, they're already putting burden on that child, even at early age, that this is, like, yes, this is what, so some people might not even, maybe, like, they will go extra miles on that just to make sure that child, like, achieves something. Like, once the child is able to, like, get a good job, good pay, like, so at least, So like that is what most spirit, I was like, it's not like that, like it's not supposed to be like that. Like, why is it that we can't walk? Like, we should do the work. Then once the child like grows old, like then the child will like do what the child wants to do, not that the child will. Because when I wanted to start it, when I want to start my daycare, my neighbor was like, ah, this thing that I should name it, like I should use my kid's name to name it so that at least when they grow up, that when they grow up, they will see something to, for, no, I was like, no, that me, I have my own purpose of doing this thing. My child might grow up and decide that he wants to do something else. So what we, but I should like, make something known, at least that this is what I was able to do, like achieve, like concerning what God has, yes, lead me to do. So we should not see, like raising kids should not be like we are expecting something in return, because that is why, that is how most of us, even in giving tithe, like giving tithe in my church, you have to, like, if you want to give, if you want to, if you want God to bless you, like you have to say, okay, God, if you do this thing, I'll do this thing. Like I'll be like, why is it that we cannot just give like without expecting anything in return? So it's based on that, that if you want, so now, if you want to build a house, you should know that just make promise that God, if you do this thing for me, I'll, sometimes it works. Like if you like, so that is how it has been like. So my mom, like, she will go, like, she will just be praying so that she will have money to go and give what she has. Sometimes it might not be easy for her, but I'll be like, is it, like, but because of what she wants to get in return, so she will go extra mile to make sure she give. So I was like, so I've seen that, but I don't think it should really be, like, expecting something in return, because to be honest, God has done a lot for us, even without Him giving us anything. For us living, breathing, I don't think we should be expecting anything in return. So I feel even with our kids too, we should not have like our own self-interest, like our own self-will in raising up the kids. So I wrote down that if Abraham had that mindset of raising a child that will later repay him back, he will not be called father of all nations and might not have journeyed far with God. He already had covenants with God even before giving birth to Isaac. So he wasn't having that mindset of, he was not even thinking it. It was not so, I feel we also should not think about that, like raising a child, like so that you get something. You work on yourself, like, this is your own. Work on yourself, build yourself so that at least the kids will see you that, okay, they will not be, keep relying that, okay, they stop, my mom was, I mean, my parents was not able to achieve this, at least me, I was able to achieve this, so the next one coming, so we take over, we continue from that. So our job as a parent is to follow God's words that says, teach your child in the way he or she should grow, and by that, they will not depart from it. Even generations will not depart from it. Why? Because we have laid the foundation for them to follow. Things like this is what we know, like things, what we know, what we have seen, this is what we believe in as a family. Like maybe you have a culture in your family that this is the way we do our things here. This is the way, like, we, that is the way the kids too, we also grow, like in a family that they are always ambitious, like day to day, they are always like, when they wake up like this, everybody is just going on their own, doing things on their own, then the kids enter the car, drop them off at school, then when they get back, like they are just doing things on their own, like even the parents are asking, okay, so things the parents are asking the kids are about worldly things, like things happening around, like they are not talking about Bible, the kids, they don't deal, sincerely to me, the only time that we read Bible, like, so it always interests me when I now go to church, maybe we have program, I will want to be the first person to read the Bible, like when the pastor calls the passage, so I will quickly want to read, So that is the only time I read Bible. Like, I go to church anytime. So that is the only time I read Bible. And it's because of, like, in my house, even sometimes I want to do devotion. So we might start maybe 2 days, then the other, like, not continuing. So, okay, so like I wrote, I said our parents, mommy and daddy, for instance, like our mommy and daddy here, is because they have obeyed some instructions and also worked some works in the spirit, which is why they are still and which they are still doing. That is why we have their footprints to follow. So, like, for instance, now in terms of making up, like, rubbing powder, like, it doesn't interest me at all. Why? Because I grew up among boys. I know how to play game, like PS. Even my brother would say that if he's playing maybe a difficult level, you give it to me, that he knows that I will share. So, like, that is what I, like, grew up with. So, to be, I had a sister, maybe seeing her dress, I would have dressed, even then in school, that my friends were learning eyebrow. I used to make jest of them. Maybe if I had maybe joined them then, but it doesn't interest me at all. I just see it, even before I don't wear earrings, I just see it like waste of time. Like, to be putting on earrings, like, I don't like it. Even, like, head tie, I'm just used to my, like, being myself. Like, even if I'm going to church, because I was in choir there, when I wear a native, I will use beret. Because I don't know. I feel that is faster. Like, anything that will waste my time, I don't. For me to now stay with, like, trying different style, I will just throw it and then I just use the beret. So, just to cover it, that's it. So, like, the way, what I just want us to know is that kids are, like, they when they believe in practical, like, what you do. Yes. Even the kids in my school, when the parents come down, they'll be like, the child is not even up to two. You'll be saying the child that should be able to say, ask, what is your name? And the child should reply. The child doesn't know colors. The child that is not even two. I said, see, but I don't just want the kids to be like that because they are small. I teach them, like, because I believe that, like, repetition, once they keep hearing things, definitely they will get it. So I tell them that even the things we do around, if I did not call that child, like, teach the child one-on-one, we pick one or two things. So it is the same thing. It is, we should be intentional about what we want to be deposited in our child. Amen. Because as for me now, I know some things, and I don't want them at, like, in my children at all. So now and they said the way for that is to, like, be obedience, follow God's words. Hey, what else are you looking for? Like, you already know the solution. So mine now is to keep following God. Like, even sometimes I don't understand what they are saying, but, and I thank God that it's not even Reverend Busuyi's message. They asked me to. Okay. So I want us to be intentional about what we want our kids to know in terms of praying. Yeah. Now, this having fellowship or having communion with the Lord is not for you alone. Amen. You should see that for your generation. I personally, now, I don't know. It's not that I don't know how to pray. I can pray very well, but now I don't know how to pray because it's like I have to relearn again. So it's somehow difficult for me, but I have to try so that my kids too will not continue in that journey. At least they will know what to follow. Amen. They will learn the right thing. Amen. Yes, thank you.
Amen. Can you tell your neighbor, say, be intentional? You know, if there's anything that stood out from what Tamari said, it's about being intentional. Really, Daddy said that the warfare that our children face, you know, is proportionate to...
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The soul, even the soul of a child, the soul of a child is the one that observes unto making. The soul of a child, a child, a child. See, the Lord, that's even this kind of soul I want you to have. I want you to be converted and be like a child. He will follow innocently to making. He will follow unto making. That is a child. Observe and follow to making. I want you to have such souls also. A soul that will follow unto making. And I want you also to be conscious of your children. Their souls are souls that observe to making. They don't just hear what you say, they observe what you do. They observe what you do unto making. So you should be intentional about what you do, because they observe you. They observe the soul of a child. The soul of a child is more observant than even hearing what you say. They watch you. That is their soul. To watch and to do what they see you do. What they see you do. I also want you to have that kind of soul in relating with me, saith the Lord. Watch and do. Watch and do. You come into making. You come into making. Have the soul of a child, saith the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Thank you very much, sir. You know, the warfare that our children face is proportionate to where they'll stand in the spirit. You know, interacting with children in the children's church, this review is, it just x-rays the lives and the generation of these children. And this is a wake-up call to parents. You know, Daddy said something that I heard that part. I heard it over and over. I paused, I prayed, I meditated, I asked myself questions. And Daddy said, how much has your voice been heard in heaven over your child? You know, to parents, that child that you have spanked 16 times, have you spent that much time praying for that same child? You know, and Daddy also said we should be patient. You know, the journey between Genesis 12 and 22 took 40 years. You know, in Proverbs 22:6, when he says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, Daddy did say that old, sometimes it's by our own standard. You expect that your child at 10, you know, these milestone things that we do, I do that, okay, by 10, by 8, by this. And I realize that, yes, those milestones are good, but really we should also wait on the Lord for the Lord's own timing. You know, the Lord has a standard. He's the one who gave us these children, you know, prior to their conception. That's why I encourage pregnant women. You should hear God over that child, even before that child is born. It's not when a child is born, I start thinking, hey, kilo mo yi mada, no. That's the 9 months you just spent it carrying a baby and doing nothing more. You know, so I want bro AY to take us further. Daddy talked about the fivefold kingdom command. So just x-ray that in about fivefold kingdom command.
Okay. Good evening, Daddy and Mommy. Good evening, the pastors, the SLTs and KCC leaders and unit heads. Okay, because of time, let me just go straight to the fivefold kingdom command. You know, Daddy said that this is the first blessing that the God, the first family. Okay. The first family. This is the fivefold kingdom command that they were being blessed with. And it still exists till date. You know, all of us, all our families need to experience these blessings. You know, the first one that Daddy talked about is that to be fruitful. Let's look at Genesis 1:22. Okay, he said, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful. You know, that he defined being fruitful here as increase and to bear fruit. So as families, we are to be increasing, you know, in wisdom, in understanding, you know, in love, in judgment, in every aspect of our life. You know, it's the commandment of God for every family to be fruitful. You know, moving on because of time, two is to multiply. And that means to become exceedingly great, you know. And that is said that this is the destiny, it is the destiny of our families to be great, you know. And we are called to be a great family. We are to possess greatness in God, you know. And that is said something also here, that greatness is not, an earthly word in that sense. You know, that greatness is a God language. You know, anything that will pass away, anything in time, is not great. You understand? You know, moving on, three, he said we are to replenish the earth, which means to be full, you know, to be abundant, you know. And that is something, he said, if we keep increasing, you know, we'll come into abundance. You know, abundance of love, abundance of light, revelation, you know. And that also now stressed the area of our finances, that we should not be limited. There is no way if we are limited financially, we can't really do the will of God effectively. In fact, Satan will even attack you from there. And, you know, even people around you can even mock you that, you know, in that sense, you know, that we are not really prospering in the natural. So God... design for our families is that we prosper in every way. Okay. Four, you know, we are to subdue, you know, and this, you know, I think that it, you know, stress this, spend quite some time there, because to subdue means to keep under, you know, and the way that you explain it, there are several things, you know, in our families that we are to subdue. You know, especially in the lives of our children, you know, there are things we have to subdue, you know, and he said, but we grow, okay, yeah, he said, you know, presently, we might not be able to subdue some things at the moment, but as we grow in understanding, in revelation, we should be able to subdue things, you know. Okay, he said, to subdue means to become a government. You can't subdue, you know, without having authority. That means you must have grown spiritually to be able to, to be able to put things down, to be able to stand your feet, you know, spiritually, you know, over the home and over the lives of our children. And even also still stress poverty, that we should be able to subdue poverty in our homes. You know, that poverty is a mindset of smallness. You know, and in such a way, there is a sense in which, with this understanding, we can hide under, you know, a religious spirit. And you say, maybe that's the will of God for me, you know, and God wants me to be humble. You know, he cite an example that, taking your child to public school, nobody will take his or her child to a public school. You know that, you know how the standard of public school is. You understand? So... that can be the will of God for us, you know. So, you know, the plan of God for us is to prosper, you know, so that we wish above all things that, you know, that we should prosper even as our soul prosper. So we should not be in poverty. We should not lack in any area and any aspect of our life, you know. And, you know, he says something to the head of the family, that as the head of the family, we must, you know, believe God completely. You know, we must have full trust in the Lord, that God is committed, you know, to the, God is committed to all that concerns us and our family. So you are not limited. If God said something, we can see it in his word, we should believe it. You understand? Okay, it says something here too that our children fight unique devils, you know. So, you know, and most of the time, even Satan knows what they are supposed to come into. And we as parents don't even know. So they attack them with all my, based on their stand in the spirit. You know, so we have to be fortified as fathers, you know, as mothers too, to be watchful over them. You know, we should know things about them. We should know what God has said concerning our children, which requires a lot of labor. You know, okay, let me move to the last one, which is dominion. You know, he said dominion is to rule and to dominate. You know, and he said something that if you look at all these fivefold kingdom command, you can see that we can't come into a place of dominion if you have not subdued. You know, we can't subdue if you have not replenished. And we can't replenish if you have not multiplied. And we can't multiply if you have not been fruitful. So it's in progression. You understand? It's increasing down the line. So he said, yeah, okay, to dominate. To dominion is to rule, to dominate, and to tread down perpetually. You know, he said, it starts from increase and ends in treading down perpetually. He said, this is the destiny of God for our families. You know. Okay. Said, it's still relevant till date, even though the first family fell from God's purpose. But that doesn't mean that it's not still existing. It's still in God. It's still relevant. All we just need is to take our stand in the spirit and fight a fight of faith to receive this. You know, that he also said that every of God's promises, you know, that we have seen in the scripture, it will not just come cheaply to us like that. We have to take our stand. You know, we have to fight, you know, to possess them. You know, well, also, you know, I think there are a whole lot that, you know, my brothers already talked about. But I also want to talk about the aspect of us as parents mirroring Christ, you know, to our parents, to our children, rather. You know, we, like Daddy said, if they don't see us pray, you can't command them to pray. You know, I think Bro Timmy said something that, okay, Proverbs 22:6, training up your child in the way that it should go. You know, Daddy said something there that it takes way owners, you know, to train up. So if you are not a custodian of ways, you know, you have journeyed with God for years and, you know, you have ways with God. You can't command your children to follow God. So there's a whole lot of responsibility on us as parents, you know, to have a long-term commitment of walking and journeying with the Lord. Okay, I'm moving down. Okay. 2 minutes. As regards that, I just want to cite an example, you know, just to buttress what I said. There was a time that, you know, my son always asks a lot of questions, and in mirroring, you know, Christ to them, you know, like Daddy said, you have to, if, you know, you have to mirror love, you know, forgiveness, everything that you want to impart in them. They learn more by what they see. And what I've discovered, our children looks at us as a standard. You know, once they see you do something, if you don't greet somebody, they assume that maybe this person is not a good person. So they just take it up. And they might not even ask you. You just see them repeat the exact same that you do. So there was a time that I had more like an argument with my landlady. Sister Diola knows her very well. She's something else. You know, actually, you know, the instruction I received was not to say anything. But eventually, I just entered flesh. I just responded. Not that I abused her, but I just... Just I say something, you know. So he now asked me. He said, what happened? I said, she didn't understand what I was trying to say. So while I was taking him to school, the Lord gave me an instruction that I should go back to her and apologize. I said, okay. So after I dropped him, I came back. I just waited for some hours, just prayed, and went to where she sells. You know, I got there, I greeted her, she did not answer. I greeted her, I begged her, I prostrated. You know, I said, so you're not supposed to talk. Like, I said, I'm sorry. You know, I even bought some things from her and all of that. So when my son came back, I had to update him. I said, I've gone back to this woman and apologized. But the next day we passed the place, she was the one that even greeted us first. So we have to be intentional about everything that we are. They are watching every move. They learned more by what we do, what they see us do. You know, I pray the Lord will help us in Jesus' name.
All right. Thank you so much. Okay, Sister Bola, please just talk around Genesis 18. Daddy stayed on it so much. You know, the experience Abraham and Sarah had with the angels that visited. Usual culture of honor and all. So please just stay in that area.
Good evening, Mom. Good evening, Daddy. Thank you, Ma. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you, our pastors. Really appreciate your efforts and everything. Mommy, thank you a lot. You know, when Mom was talking about an example of Sunday, I was number one ever dressing. I was thinking she would even call me too, because I was number one. Before Stadjola and Stad, I was number one person. No, Mommy really helped me. Stable in my dress, Dada. Mommy, thank you, Ma. I really appreciate you. I love you, Ma. Okay. She said I should talk about honor. I was thinking I would talk about the last place when they went. Okay, Genesis 18, when Abraham and Sarah entertained an angel. Okay, when they entertained some angels. Okay. I can say something about that. In entertaining angels, I think Daddy said something around that place. When he said that in entertaining angels, Sarah's womb was open to have a child. Then he said, even in their old age, God was able to turn around God was able to touch their body to respond to each other that way. So he was able to deliver a child because they entertained an angel. Okay, let me talk about the purpose of God for family, from fathers to son. Daddy talked about transferring the word of the Lord to our children. So we have to transfer the way of the Lord to our children we will have walked in that way of the Lord. For us to transfer the way of the Lord to our children, we will have walked the Lord, we will have walked in that way before that way can also be transferred to our own children. They will have seen it that we have walked in that way. So it can be also, they can also walk in that part of the Lord. Then Daddy also mentioned that instructions in doctrine, discipline, and character. Yeah. So he said a family must be loaded in doctrine. Yes. He said our family must be loaded in doctrine. He said doctrine shapes our character. It shapes the way we live. So sound doctrine. Sound doctrine must be in our home constantly, as in, so that we can instruct our children. We can instruct them in that, from that doctrine. So we must be loaded with doctrine day by day, as in every day. Doctrine must not be lost in our home, so that we can easily, as in. He also said we can discipline them in doctrine. We can instruct them in doctrine. So he also said envisioning of God's missions and purpose. So he said He said, our children must know our purpose beyond our job, as in they must mention what we do daily. They must mention what we do daily. They must see us beyond our job. They must see what we do daily. They must know where we can go, where we cannot go. They must be able to define our day-to-day activity. They must see, as in, if they said, if a child said they saw your daddy somewhere, and that place is not a place that, the child should be able to defend my dad. No, it is not my daddy. Maybe you mistakenly for my daddy. So our children must see our way of life day by day, our going out, the way we relate with people. They must see us. They must be able to know what we can do and what we cannot do. So we must be able to mirror Christ to our children every day. Our children, like my son, I can remember when we were still in Bodija. He knows when I don't pray. He would tell me, Mommy, you didn't pray. And it was around maybe 3 or 4 then. He kept doing that since I was like, Mommy, it not pray today. I said, how did you? That was then, around 3 or 4. He does ask his daddy. If his daddy does a bad thing to me, he'll tell his daddy, why did you shout at my mommy like that? You don't know. It was around 3 or 4. As in, he sees everything. He sees the Lord. And he has not grown then. I will look at him. How do you know I didn't pray? I didn't pray. So we must be conscious of what we do every day. As the day he told his daddy in the car, why will you shout at my mom? Why you shout at my mom? And my mom will not stop looking at him. You know, it's not good. That boy can talk. He can talk. So since then, my husband has been cautioned of how he does it. It really helped my husband to really. It really helped him a lot to really be conscious of what he does, or what he does in the front, everything. Our children must see our life. That we are living according to Christ, like, and they can mirror Christ in us every day.
All right. Can we just stand to our feet? I want us to just pray for about 2 or 3 minutes. You know, when Daddy examined Genesis 18, I want to just say a few things. Then we pray. Daddy spoke so much about the culture of honor. You know, what brought about that transformation for Abraham and Sarah? First, Abraham was discerning. You know, I was hoping somebody was going to say that. You know, he was able to tell that those were not just strangers, but they were men sent from the Lord. I want us to pray that as in this season, we would not be ignorant of instructions, would not belittle God's servants. You know, there were people that honored the Lord. Abraham and Sarah, they had something to offer to the Lord when he sent his angels on that visit. I want us to talk to the Lord this evening, that the Lord is going to enlarge us. He's going to bless us even in physical resources. I hope we are praying. You know, that he said that poverty is something we should reject. Poverty is something we should reject like a plague. I want us to pray that the Lord is going to open our eyes, whether you are in career, whether you are running a business. You know, I remember in that same message, Daddy did say that imagine the angels came to visit and they had to go and start borrowing rice. Maybe you had nothing to entertain them at that time. I want us to pray for families in this church that the Lord is going to indeed enlarge our coast. I want us to pray that our eyes will be open. You know, our eyes will be open. Reverend Busi said the same thing. You know, yes, the physical things are not our inheritance, certainly, but those things are instrumental even to our meaningful stay on this part of the divide. I want us to pray to the Lord that the Lord will help us to be people of honor, people that can honor ministers. That is said, if you cannot honor ministers, you cannot honor the Lord. Let us pray that we shall be men and women of honor. We shall not be those that belittle our pastors. I want us to pray. You know, Daddy and Mommy seem to be very approachable. You know, sometimes you may not know when you just cross the line, maybe because they have been at home with us. Let us pray that the Lord will keep our hearts, that we'll be people of honor, that there will never be a point in time where we will take the grace of God over them for granted. Let us pray for our children, that their future is secured in Christ Jesus. The warfare that they would face, the Lord will grant them strength. He will grant them tenacity. He will grant them grace to overcome in the name of Jesus. In that same message, Daddy was able to say so much about the fact that, you know, we are the first fruits of this world of righteousness. You know, imagine what 20 years, 30 years from now looks like. I want us to pray for the generations coming after us, that they will come into this same path. They will drink of these waters. They will drink of it. And they will take the gospel of this word of righteousness even beyond where we have taken it. You know, one of those who was reviewing said, if it took us 20 years to come into Christ, our children should not take that long. I want us to pray that the Lord will do a quick work in righteousness over our children, that this generation will serve God. Their generation will be hungry for God. They would not be laid back. They will not be a generation that takes just anything that the world throws at them. But they will be sturdy. They will be strong. You know, it was Reverend Busui who spoke about the Israelites. That, you know, when you look at inventions, the Jews are the best of inventors today. They are the ones who are the best of innovators. Why? Because there is a law that they have fixed their eyes upon. Can we pray that as believers, our eyes will be fixed on the law of righteousness? You know, our eyes will be fixed on the doctrine that we are feeding upon. We would lie down in green pastures. We'll regurgitate the instructions that the Lord brings our way. And we shall profit even in the world to come and even in the present. In the name of Jesus.
We hope you've been refreshed through this ministration. Follow us for more messages and updates on www.thecdgetchurch.org. Remain blessed.